I want to talk to you real quickly about another one of the disciplines that we need in our lives in order to put our faith in action. You know, we're in a series called Ready, Set, Go. We're talking about how the early Christians, as we look into the book of Acts, we see these disciplines in their lives that was really positioning them for whenever the Spirit wanted to use them. We've seen how they were devoted to the word and devoted to one another. We've seen how last week they had this attitude of generosity because they were caught up in the all of God. And they're ready to go, whatever the Holy Spirit says. Well, today we're going to see another discipline. And it really is a discipline. Now, at first, you won't think of it as a discipline because when things are good, this one's real easy. But when things aren't so good, then you'll understand why this is a discipline if you're going to incorporate this even in the low times of life. And today we're going to see the value of it, all right? Now, to help you grab a hold of this a little bit, what I'm talking about today, someone much smarter than me wrote it down like this. They said there are four levels to living, and every one of us is somewhere on this spectrum. The lowest level to living, the lowest level is the constant complainer, the person who grumbles all the time. This person never finds anything to be thankful for. The glass is always half empty. It's never half full. They are, rather than being humbly grateful, they are grumbly hateful. Does anybody know somebody like that? If you're sitting beside them right now, just lean over and whisper to them, there's hope for you in Jesus. I'm glad you came to church today. And if you're watching online and you know that person, do not put their name in the comment section. Just put praying for your brother. They know who they are. All right. The second level, the next level is not someone who's always complaining and grumbling. They just are never thankful. They just don't say anything. They take everything for granted. They're blessed far beyond than they could ever give God enough glory for, and yet never say thank you about anything. They just take it all for granted. And let's just say this. All of us find ourselves dipping down into the second level every once in a while. But there's something about being said if that's where you live all the time. The third level of living is one more step higher, and these are the people who praise God for their blessings in the moment. That is, they praise God when everything's going good, when everything's happy and there's more than enough in the checking account and everybody's healthy, everything's going good, they're quick to say, praise the Lord. But when things start happening negatively, when things start falling apart, they quickly lose their joyful attitude and they don't give praise to God in the low times. That's a third level living. The fourth level living is the highest level. And watch this. These are folks who give God the praise and live a life of gratitude in the good times and in the bad times alike. That they realize what Psalm 121 says is true, that even in the lowest times of life, we can look up for our help comes from the Lord. And that's this highest level. And this is what I believe God wants for you and me and every one of us in this room and online. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about getting ourselves in this position of living a life full of gratitude. And listen, not only is this, I believe, God's will for us, as you're going to see today, but UCLA Health Department did a study on this and found out that gratitude is actually beneficial to your health. And in an article or a research project that UCLA Health Systems did, here are some of the findings. Here's what they said. If you and I practice gratitude, catch this, 15 minutes a day. Somebody shout, that's not too hard. Or it shouldn't be, right? 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week for 6 weeks. The research showed this, that it would enhance mental wellness and promote a lasting change in one's perspective. Think about it. 15 minutes a day of gratitude, 5 days a week for 6 weeks could literally change your perspective on life. how you view the things around you and give you a much more positive attitude. The survey goes on to give some of the benefits to your health. Just think about this. Living thankfully can benefit your life in these ways, according to UCLA. They said it'll reduce depression. The report says that people with grateful mindsets report higher satisfaction with life, strong social relationships, and more self-esteem. It seems to reduce the effects of depression. Secondly, it lessens anxiety. They say gratitude is a coping tool for anxiety, and regularly practicing gratitude combats negative thinking patterns and keeps you focused on the present. Listen, can I tell you something? The Bible said that 2,000 years ago. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if there's anything commendable, if there's anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. The Bible says, take your thoughts captive. Dwell on these things, verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. Gratitude will help lessen anxiety and depression and actually protect your heart and your mind with the peace of God. Third, that goes on to say, it'll support heart health. Do you think about that? Living with gratitude can actually make you more healthy with your heart. It says this, a grateful mindset positively affects biomarkers associated with the risk of heart disease. One of those is this, it relieves stress. Gratitude is a response to help bring down blood pressure. The next time you see someone all red-faced and you know their blood pressure is about to pop, look at them and say, take a praise break. Yeah. Now, do it at arm's length. But go ahead and tell them, you just need to get alone with God and start counting your blessings for a moment and then come back and let's finish this conversation. Come on, somebody. Some of your marriages would be a lot better in those heated discussions if you just stop and say, go thank God for me right now. Go count your blessings, right? Now watch this one. It also improves sleep. Thinking positive thoughts before falling asleep promotes better sleep. All of these are benefits of living with gratitude. Here's what I want you to write down. Here's how to define this. What are we talking about today? We're talking about living with gratitude, which is an attitude of thanksgiving. Gratitude is an attitude of thanksgiving. And if you look up here at me in online campus, if you lean into the screen, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. There should be no one on this planet who has more of an attitude of gratitude than those of us who have experienced the love of God and forgiveness of our sins and know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. There should be no one on this planet more grateful in any situation than we who know Christ as our Lord. And today we're gonna go to the Bible and we're gonna see this in action. Go to Acts chapter 2. Here are the early church Christians. They are living in a time where things are very confusing. There's already pressure on them, and pressure's about to increase significantly. Think about this. They are not living in a day where everybody welcomes them. They're not welcome in the temple to talk about Jesus. They go to the temple, but they can't get up and preach about Jesus in front of people unless they want to be arrested or beaten or thrown out, because when you read Acts chapter 2, this is just coming weeks after they just crucified Jesus and he arose from the dead. These are the early Christians living in that time period. And here's what the Bible says. Look with me on your message notes. It says, in every day, shout daily, they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple. They broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with what? Sorrowful, gloomy depression. Woe is us, what they did to Jesus, and we can't even worship freely. We don't have the freedom of religion in our own country. Is that what they did? No. They ate their food joyfully and with sincere hearts. And notice the next two words. Circle them on your in your Bible, on your notes. Circle them and say them out loud. Come on, online campus, ready to go. praising God. They're praising God. They're giving God the glory in the midst of their circumstances. They're praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Now, before we read the last line together, I want you to notice that because of their attitude, they're devoted to God. They're devoted to the word. They're devoted to one another. They're in the all of God. They've been practicing generosity. And now, all of a sudden, they are praising God in the midst of all their circumstances. And how does God respond? Look at the last line here. Read with me. Ready? Go. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Is this amazing? The church is growing under times of persecution. The church was growing in times of pressure. You know why? Because people want to be around other folks who have hope. People are attracted to grateful people, and you and I should be the most grateful people. I don't care what we're going through, whatever the circumstances, we should have an attitude of gratitude. Doesn't mean that we're oblivious to the problems or the pressures or the pain of life. Doesn't mean we're not going through something, but our gratitude can be that we're in the midst of something and we know we're not alone. That there's a God in heaven who's taken care of us, that he's put a spiritual family around us to walk through this tragedy with us. But that's even where gratitude can show up in the hardest of situations. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at two quick blessings or benefits that come when your faith in Jesus fuels your attitude of gratitude. And here's the first one. Write this down. Listen to me. This is so important. But if you'll live with gratitude, it will refill your emotional tank when your tank gets low. Gratitude in the hard times of life will refill your emotional tank. Even in the good times, how many know that you can be in the midst of blessings and your emotional tank get drained? Look on the screen with me at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Let's read out loud together. It says, giving thanks how often? Always for what? For the good times of life? For everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at that verse, let me ask you this quick question. How many of you know where Paul was when he wrote this verse? Paul was in a prison. He was arrested for preaching the gospel. He was looking at the death sentence. And Paul writes these words to believers who are free while he's in prison because he says, listen, I want you to know that no matter what situation of life you find yourself, we are to give thanks always for everything to God. Look at Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians says this. Read with me. Come on. Rejoice always. Pray. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you. You say, is it God's will for me to praise God even in the hard times of life? Yes. Does that mean that I'm faking it? No. Doesn't mean you're faking it at all. Not if you know why to be grateful. How to find what you're grateful for in God, in his sovereignty and in his faithfulness in the midst of your circumstances. What it doesn't mean is it doesn't mean that everything happening to you right now is good. And people need to understand that. There's some bad preaching out there along the lines of Romans 8:28 that says you ought to just thank God every time you go through a problem because that's good for you. And they'll misquote the verse. Romans 8:28 says that God will work all things out toward the good to those who love God and are called according to Christ Jesus. What it doesn't say is everything happens is good. Let's just be honest. Sometimes the devil kicks you in the ribs, punches you in the face. We live in an evil world with evil people and a real devil out there. And sometimes things happen that are not good. So that's when you have to pull back into this discipline to find ways and reasons to be grateful because gratitude actually defeats the devil's lies. And I want you to see that some of the times we and I can be grateful. Listen, we can be grateful for the simple things in life. If we wake up in the morning, we can be thankful for a new day, a day of fresh beginnings. We can be thankful for the air we breathe. We can be thankful for the food we eat. We can be thankful for whatever income source we've got. We can be thankful for people around us. If you're in this church, you can be thankful God's put you in a loving, caring church family who we have people here ready to pray with you and encourage you. You're not alone, and you thank God for the simple things of life, things we often take for granted. Let me go a little deeper. We can thank God for the spiritual things of life, because even if nothing else seems to be there for you and everything else isn't working out, but if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've trusted him and you know you've got a home in heaven one day, listen to me, one day you're gonna stand before God, and if you're saved through Christ alone for your salvation, you're going to see that all of the problems of this world are going to fade into a distant memory, and you're going to have eternity with Jesus Christ forever one of these days. If earth doesn't give you any good things, you've got a great home in heaven waiting for you, and Jesus alone is worthy to receive praise and glory and honor for all of eternity, because he died for you that you could have eternal life. You're the reason Jesus got up out of that grave. But even in the sorrowful times, here's what we know. The Bible tells us God will never leave us nor forsake us. That two can walk together. You don't have to be alone in the midst of the dark times. There are people around you. If you'll just reach out, you'll find there's love and acceptance in his family. He has given you his word to give you strength and support. And I'm telling you that God is with you, and you can be grateful for that. The story of Job is one that is powerful, because here's a man who is successful and wealthy, and in one day he loses all his wealth, he loses his health, and he loses all his children. And when you read the story of Job, you can quickly say, man, if I was him, I think he had every right to be angry and bitter. Now, when you read it in the Bible, we read about, you know, how God actually bragged on Job and said, you know, you could take everything away from Job and he still won't curse me. I believe in him. His walk with me is true. Here's the deal. Job never heard that conversation. So Job is sitting there going, why is all this happening? What have I done wrong? How many of you have ever had something bad happen and the devil put in the back of your mind, you did something to deserve this? I don't know what you did, but you did something. How many know the devil is a liar? And I'm sure that happened to Job too, but here's what you need to understand. Job kept looking up even in the hardest time of his life. And I believe it's one of the reasons why the Bible calls him a perfect man. Because in Job 1:21, here's what Job does. In the midst of his pain, he falls to the ground and lifts up his hands, just like we sang about in the song a moment ago. And he just lifted up his hands and he says to the Lord, may the name of my God be praised. How do you do that? In the midst of hard times, you've got to live with an attitude of gratitude. You've got to understand that even in the hardest times of life, God hasn't left you. And whatever is happening today, Romans 8:28, what it's actually saying in context is God can take your rose petal and grow a rose out of the middle of it. God can turn your situation around. God can make something good come out on the other end of it. Paul was in prison when he wrote Ephesians 5:20. And there's nothing good about being in prison. We don't read about any kind of big miraculous prison break for Paul, but I want to tell you what happened good out of Paul's time in prison. He wrote many of the letters that's in your Bible today in the New Testament, and billions of people have been encouraged by the word of God because a man had an attitude of gratitude even in a prison cell, and he started writing letters of scripture to people to read. Listen to me, you don't know what God can do in your situation. But if you have an attitude of gratitude, you might just watch God work in the midst of it. Amen? Let me give you this. Listen, every morning you can get up and just start your day with an attitude of gratitude. Every day, just get up and start giving God praise for something. For those of you who like to journal, I'd encourage you to create a praise journal and just write down your little blessings, because something happens. Your brain, when you begin to worship and to praise God, your body actually starts releasing hormones into your body, and it changes your attitude and it starts lifting up your spirit. Let me tell you what else will happen. Number two, write this down. Gratitude will inspire you to have courageous faith. I love what Dr. Luke does next. He's showing us how these early Christians had this attitude of gratitude. And in the midst of this, one day, two of the disciples are on their way to the temple to pray at 3:00 in the afternoon. And as they're on their way to the temple, here is Peter and John going to pray. A man who was lame from birth, shout from birth. He was carried there and he was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful. And he could beg for those entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John entering in, he asked them for money. Peter said, look at us. And so he turned expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, watch this. I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up. And at once his feet and ankle bones became strong. And he jumped up and started to walk and he entered the temple with them. Everybody read with me, go. Walking, leaping, and praising God. And when everyone around saw him leaping and praising God, they recognized this is the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. What happened to the crowd that day? They were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened. Here's what I want you to see. Peter and John were walking to the temple. This was their discipline. They're just going to church like they did every day to pray at 3 o'clock. And here's a man over here begging alms. Is this the first time they'd ever seen him? No, he's been laid there since birth. And when you get to Acts chapter 4, this man's been laid at the same gate for over 40 years. And yet he had never been healed. They had never stopped and healed him before. It's because you can't choose when the Holy Spirit calls you into action. That's the whole reason for this series. We got to always be ready. And here they are on this particular day because this is that man's day. By the way, and you can wrestle with this all you want to, but there's another man who had the power to heal him that lived for 33 years. The whole time this man had been laying there and he went to the temple too and never healed him. What was his name? Jesus. And sometimes you have an attitude of gratitude is to wrestle with this. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says yes. And sometimes God says it's not yet time. And for this man, the answer was yes, but not yet. And so Jesus knew what was going to happen every time he passed this man going to the gate. And here he is that day, and it was his day. And he looks up at Peter and John, and he says, hey, I need some alms. And on this day, Peter and John on their way with grateful, sincere hearts, ready to worship God, ready to pray. And all of a sudden, when he looks at him and they make eye contact, the Holy Spirit of God put Peter into action because he was ready. He had an attitude of gratitude. And what did that do? Man, I'm telling you, when you start praising God and focusing on your blessings, your faith begins to rise up on inside of you. I don't know. Maybe Peter was having a Baptistical fit on his way to church that day. But when he looked at that man, faith had risen up inside of him. And he said, I may not have no money, but brother, I got something for you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. God put him into action, and he had a right attitude for the moment. That's what I want you to capture. You know what Peter didn't do? Peter didn't say, oh, wow, look at that. I got power. I'm going to start a healing line now. Anybody else? I'm going to start today the healing ministry of St. Peter. He didn't do any of that. And you know what that man didn't do? He didn't praise Peter. He praised God. All the attention was given to Jesus. Here's your big takeaway. When you and I live with an attitude of gratitude, listen, it's not only good for you, it'll fill your tank when you're empty. It'll build up your faith so you can be courageous when God calls you into action. And if you've got the right attitude and you're giving God the praise, I want to tell you, your gratitude will create opportunities for you to share the good news of Jesus with other people. Let me tell you what happened that day. That man started leaping and praising God. You know, I had a lady after the first service wait for me in the lobby because she wanted to tell me. And she said, Pastor, I got medical documented proof of this. She told me the procedures and the tests that's been run on her heart since January, the first of the year. And she had all kinds of complications. And she came here in February and people laid hands on her and prayed over her. And she's been trusting Jesus. She's been going through the prayer and fasting, just calling out on the name of the Lord. And during the last 21 days, she went back to the doctors and they ran more tests on her. And last week they called her and said, we're moving up your next appointment. We need to talk to you. And she had in her mind, things aren't going to be good. Things aren't going to be good at all. You don't ever call and say, we need you to come earlier than your appointment and it'd be good. And she walked into the office and they said, we just had to have you come in because we got to tell you something. There ain't a thing in the world wrong with your heart. Everything looks great. Every test come back perfect. You know what she was doing out in the lobby? That woman leaped and she jumped in the lobby today and she gave Jesus the praise. And I'm telling you, when you live with gratitude, you create opportunities for people to say, what's going on? How are you smiling with what you're going through? And you have an opportunity to tell them about the Savior of the world, Jesus our Christ, our Messiah, our Lord. And listen, there ain't nothing better than that. Amen. Can we stand up today and give him like 10 seconds of our best praise? Come on. Let's praise Jesus today. Let's have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Praise the Lord.